Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the May 26th, 2022 virtual meeting of the TRPA hearings officer. My name is Andrew Strain, and I will be serving as the hearings officer today on public hearing items 5A and 5B. Paul Nielsen from the TRPA will serve as the hearings officer for public hearing item 5C, and we will transition from one to the other at the conclusion of item 5B and before item 5C begins. I'll call the meeting to order. And item number two on our agenda is the approval of today's agenda. I will check with the staff to see if we have any further changes to today's agenda. Hearing none, I will approve the agenda as it has been posted and noticed. Item three on our agenda are public interest comments for no action. Any member of the public who wishes to address the hearings officer on any agenda item that's not listed as an announcement of appeal rights or as a public hearing item or on any other item may do so at this time. However, please note that public comments on the announcement of appeal rights or on a public hearing item will be taken up at the time that those agenda items are heard. The hearings officer is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public that are not listed on this agenda. At this point, I will ask Georgina to look for a show of hands for anyone who's with us today who would like to comment on non-agenda or non-appeal rights items. Georgina?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature in the Zoom app. The hand icon is located at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 if you're on your phone. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand now and I will announce and unmute you and you'll have 3 minutes. All right, I don't see any hands going up, so looks like we can continue with the review of the agenda.
All right, Georgina, thank you. Item four is the announcement of appeal rights. I want to let everyone know today that the decisions of the hearings officer are appealable to the TRPA Governing Board within 21 days of the hearings officer decision. The application fee and the appeal application can be found on the TRPA's website. Let's move on to item five, our public hearing items. Item 5A is the Bogart Shoreline Protective Structure reconstruction, located at 4676 North Lake Boulevard, that's in Carnelian Bay in Placer County, California. The assessor's parcel number is APN 115-070-010, and the TRPA file number is ERSP2022-0088. Paul Nielsen, will you please introduce this item and give us a summary of what is being proposed?
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Andrew. This item is the reconstruction of a shoreline protective structure. It's larger than some of the more recent shoreline protective structures that you've seen before you in the last several months. But it is not unusual for this stretch of the shoreline, which is characterized, I think, as you know, the stretch of the north shore has steep slopes, typically volcanic in origin, somewhat unstable. In this case, you've got a house that's located on the bluff. It's immediately adjacent to the highway on the north side of the residence. And then, on the south side, it slopes down to the shoreline. There is a pier on the property. The proposed revetment is about approximately 150 feet wide. And it is comprised of a series of small vertical walls. Laid back slopes where possible. It's not possible to lay back the entire slope of this property. for two reasons. One is because you have the house at the top of the bluff. So if you were to lay it back, you would destabilize. Basically, you'd get into the house foundation. And second of all, that's not the character of the shoreline here. The slopes are naturally steep here and naturally somewhat unstable. And so over time, the existing revetment has deteriorated. The engineering standards since that time have certainly improved. And we are confident that the proposed revetment, which was designed and engineered by a geotechnical engineer who is familiar and who has designed many revetments around the lake, we believe that this will be an improvement. And with the proposed landscape plan over time, you'll see a visual improvement as well, as opposed to the continuing erosion of the slope. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
With Georgina's help, can we please pull up and show the proposed site plan? We may have to provide some page numbers or packet numbers.
Paul, do you have a page number from the staff report?
Sure, hang on. Well, that's the landscape plan. If you zoom in, you can see the walls as well.
Yes, what are we proposing here, Paul?
Well, what you're seeing is, a series of walls that step up the bluff, and in between and above, you've got embedded larger boulders and smaller boulders. At the toe, you've got much smaller boulders that are capable of moving during large wave events to attenuate the wave energy. And then the landscape plan will introduce vegetation into the planting pockets in areas that are suitable for planting, but will not destabilize or affect the integrity of the wall.
And in our previous conversations, we've talked about this class, so to speak, of designs as being dynamic.
Correct.
Sloping or dynamic rock revetments. Can you shed a little bit of light on the sort of the concept behind those, the dynamic revetments?
Yeah, so the word dynamic refers to sort of the ability of the revetment to move a little bit over time. You know, the natural shoreline, whether it be on the coast of California or here in Tahoe, you've got just naturally, in many cases, naturally occurring boulders, rocks, gravels, cobbles that move based on wave energy. And so the larger the waves, the larger the material that's moved. And through the movement of that substrate material, it dissipates wave energy. It absorbs the wave energy. And so the TRPA design standards for these type of revetments require, where feasible, to design it such that it's sloping so the waves do not hit a flat surface and deflect the energy up. And particularly down, which creates erosion at the toe of these vertical walls you see around the lake. The idea is to create a slope where possible so that the waves run up the slope and run back. And by introducing different sizes of rock material, it will and is designed to move to help attenuate wave energy to the greatest extent possible and mimic that natural system. So hopefully that helps.
Yes, thank you, Paul. And given the location of this property and the proposed revetment reconstruction, we consider this a somewhat or relative wave-prone area. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it faces, to the east a bit, southeast. It's not like Incline Village or Sand Harbor that takes the brunt of the waves as that a 20-plus mile fetch coming out of the southwest. But certainly with, depending on which way the wind is blowing, there can certainly be significant wave events here.
Good. Thank you, Paul. I don't have any other questions for the staff. Do we have someone participating today in the meeting who represents the applicant?
Yeah, I believe we have Jonathan Peace, the engineer, who is representing the applicant today.
Jonathan, are you on?
I do see that he's on, but maybe he's having difficulties speaking. Jonathan, you're on mute, if you can hear me.
Yeah, it looks like Jonathan may be muted.
He's on the phone, he said. Georgina, is there a way to patch him in via phone? He should be able to participate.
Yeah. Looks like he is self-muted.
Andrew, if I could, I have reviewed the staff summary with Jonathan and Kevin Aiken, who is the planning consultant. He's out of the country. So Jonathan Peace is representing the applicant. They were in agreement with the permit conditions of approval. Jonathan, maybe in the chat, you can confirm or indicate if you've got additional comments or if you accept the conditions of approval as proposed.
Yes, that would be helpful. Jonathan, can you do that? Give us your input or assessment of the conditions, those that are found in the permit.
I will try and call him, Andrew.
All right. Let's give it just a minute or two here. Yep. Appreciate the opportunity to hear from the applicant or the applicant's representative. Good. Jonathan, if you can hear me and can answer, I have two questions for you. Number one, any comments on the staff summary presentation or on the conditions in the permit? You can certainly free to type those into the chat box if you can hear me. I'll stick with the first question first.
Jonathan, you may have to manage your settings in the toolbar at the bottom of the Zoom screen on your phone.
I've got him on the phone. Hang on just a second.
Okay.
Yeah, he's having technical difficulties, but he has no further comments and accepts the conditions of approval. We'll try and put that in the chat, but that's what he just relayed to me.
Good. Thank you, Paul, for acting as the intermediary and a workaround here. At this point, I do not have any further questions for the staff or the applicant. And I'll open the public hearing and ask Georgina to please look for a show of hands for anyone who would like to offer public comment on this item today. Georgina?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature in the Zoom app located at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 if you're on your phone. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand now and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes. Just looking for hands. All right, I'm not seeing any hands go up, so it looks like we can continue with the review of the agenda.
Thank you, Georgina. And Paul, did we receive any other public input or comment on this item?
Yeah, we did not, Andrew. Sorry about that. I did not receive any written comments or any phone calls or emails.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. Seeing as we have no comment to be offered on this item, I will go ahead and close the public hearing on item 5A and take action. Based on the staff report, the staff's recommended actions, the findings that are contained in our staff report and the rationale on which they are based, including a finding of no significant effect, I will approve the findings that are contained in the staff summary for the project. And additionally, based on the staff summary, let me go back to those findings and make sure we're clear on them. That includes chapter 4, chapter 21, and I believe also, Paul, chapter 81 for special use and shoreline use findings. Is that correct? We have that listed in the staff report.
Yes, that is correct. Thank you.
Chapter 80, chapter 84, and last but not least, chapter 85, those findings and the rationale on which they are based, I will approve those findings. And that does include, as mentioned, the finding of no significant environmental effect. In addition, I will approve the project that's based, again, on the staff summary and subject to the conditions that are contained in the draft permit for this item. Let's move on to item 5B. The Tahoe Transportation District's temporary use application, located at 771 Southwood Boulevard and also 915 Northwood Boulevard. That includes the Washoe County School District as well. That location in Incline Village, Washoe County, Nevada. The assessor parcel numbers are 132-201-02 and 132-012-05. The TRPA file number is ERSP 2021-0673. This is an item that has been continued from the December 16th, 2021 hearings officer meeting, as noted on our agenda. I'll ask Bridget Cornell, our staff planner, to walk us through this project, including what has happened since we continued it in December. Bridget?
Yes, thank you, Hearings Officer Strain. This is Bridget Cornell, and again, I'm a planner in the current planning division with TRPA. As you mentioned, the project was initially presented to the Hearings Officer in November 2021, and it was continued to the December meeting because of the number of comments that we received in a short period of time before the meeting. It was continued to the December meeting, and based on the comments, some of the comments that were received in December, it was continued again, this time indefinitely, pending the completion of a traffic analysis to be completed by the Tahoe Transportation District and submitted to TRPA. And just to give you a little bit, like I know you just mentioned all the details of the project, the proposed project, the application has come in requesting a permit for a temporary use. Again, at the two addresses that you mentioned, both at 771 Southwood Boulevard in Incline Village, as well as utilizing the campus at 915 Northwood Boulevard in Incline Village, the Tahoe Transportation District is proposing to utilize each of these locations as intercept parking to serve the East Shore Express. And the East Shore Express is a transit system that picks up passengers throughout Incline Village and brings them to destinations along the East Shore, the final destination being Sand Harbor along the East Shore. So the Tahoe Transportation, or that TRPA Transportation staff worked with the TTD in developing their VMT analysis. In addition to the VMT analysis, I had requested some information regarding the number of vehicle trips generated by the project, which the TTD has provided to TRPA. The results of both the VMT analysis as well as the trip generation information was provided just in summary form in a memo that summarized that information. So we have reviewed that information. So it was re-noticed for today's public hearing based on, so the results of the VMT analysis, and just to back up a little bit on that, in 2021, TRPA revised its traffic and transportation mitigation requirements, and they now evaluate regional vehicle miles traveled. I know that VMT isn't the sole concern about this project, so that is why we requested some additional information regarding the trip generation. So overall, the VMT analysis shows that regionally, the implementation of this project will result in a reduction in vehicle miles traveled. And then additionally, the trip generation information that was provided was found to be relative to the peak hour traffic volumes on the adjacent roadways. The peak hour traffic volumes were found to not be a substantial contributor to the overall conflicts that may occur in that area. So TRPA, after reviewing that information, agreed that it was sufficient to bring the project forward again. And that is why we're back at the hearings officer today. Again, to remind you, this is for a temporary use. By approving a temporary use, it would allow the Tahoe Transportation District to utilize these two sites initially for the 2022 season. If all goes well, they would be eligible for a one-time extension that would allow it to continue for a second season into the 2023 season. There are some members of the Tahoe Transportation District staff who are available and would like to do just a quick presentation. I will initially introduce Danielle Hughes. She'll go over a little bit of the kind of bigger picture and the service itself. And then I know that there are a couple of other TTD staff who are also available. And I would be happy to answer any questions at the conclusion of the hearing. Oh, to get to also just point out a couple of things. I am proposing one change to the permit. Is now an appropriate time to bring that up?
Yes, please.
Okay. So special condition 5 of the draft permit makes reference to a requirement for the Tahoe Transportation District, the permittee as identified here, to submit a written report at the conclusion of the season. I would like, just to be specific about it, I'd like to add some language for that permit. The whole condition will remain in place, and we will require that the report be submitted to the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency within 30 days of the last day of service in the 2022 season.
We will amend that condition.
Okay. And then additionally, the requested action today is to approve the findings and make a finding of no significant effect, as well as to approve the project. So with that, I will introduce Danielle Hughes from the Tahoe Transportation District. And again, I will be available later in the hearing to answer any questions or provide any follow-up. Danielle, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you.
Yes. And I believe there was one slide that we were going to put up. Great. And I'll keep this really brief, but just kind of wanted to provide a general summary of some of the previous planning to support the East Shore Express that had occurred, and really how this relates to the 13 partner agencies and the corridor management plan that is being implemented. As Bridget mentioned, we use the elementary schools as an intercept lot for visitors that are mostly coming from 431 and from the California side, and intercept those drivers and try and shift them to transit in the peak summer to manage that peak demand. There are several other projects that are associated with the SR 28 corridor, including an additional mobility hub that will be at the Swooner Summit that we are continuing to try and bring forward to capture visitors that are coming from that end of the corridor and make sure that we're reducing vehicle miles traveled along the corridor through a multimodal system. We work with our partners regularly, meeting monthly, to try and manage the demand and ongoing issues in the corridor. There were several other planning documents that were associated with development of the corridor management plan that were specifically around the East Shore Express, including the 2012 East Shore Express Strategy Plan, the 2012 East Shore Express Pilot Transit Plan, and the East Shore Express Demonstration Concept Development and Feasibility Study that looked at all of the options for site selection for the pilot. We will be looking at operating this hopefully, you know, mid-June through Labor Day weekend. Typically, we do operate from 10 to 7, departing every 30 minutes. And we try to use about 2 to 3 buses. And, you know, in the past, we did kind of summarize some of the previous data that really shows, you know, we typically have met capacity at the parking lot at about 15 days a year, and we've intercepted over 2,000 vehicles and had 40,000 riders. And, you know, we hope that it helps to reduce conflicts and improve congestion and safety throughout the core SR28 corridor. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Danielle. How many years has the East Shore Express been operating?
So we've been operating the East Shore Express since 2012. We have not operated the last 2 years, the first year due to COVID and Sand Harbor trying to limiting the number of people going into Sand Harbor. And then last year, it was more associated with limited drivers that we have available.
And how does the pool of drivers look this coming season?
Well, we have actually, we did a pay increase, so we have improved our drivers. We're still having challenges with our fleet, though. So we are working with Sand Harbor in case there are days that we cannot operate to make sure that the community and visitors know if this is access, it will be available. But it's still a challenge.
And is there a cost for this service if I were a rider?
No, it's actually free.
It's free. All right, very good. And you mentioned it's intended to serve as an intercept lot for people coming into the area from over Mount Rose Highway and from points perhaps in California to the west or outside of the village. Can village residents ride this service?
Absolutely can, yes. It is free for everyone.
And can you talk a little bit about it's in the staff report. It'd be I would like to hear your perspective on the way that the parking and associated milling around of the riders, how that will be managed at the two locations.
Tara, do you want to take that one?
In other words, what are we doing in order to mitigate the effects from some of the comments and some of the concerns that we've heard from the surrounding residents?
Absolutely.
How's that being handled?
I'm going to introduce Tara Frank, who's also on here, and she is more involved in the day-to-day operations of the East Shore Express and can help with that one.
Sure. Hopefully you all can hear me okay. My internet connection down at the yard is not fantastic. The mulling around at the East Shore Express's lot, the intercept lot, I spend a lot of time there in the summer when we have operated in quite a few of the summers of the past 10 that we've operated. And that is, it's organized fairly well. The cars park, there's signage that directs cars to where there is available parking. You pull into the site, park your car, there's parking attendants. They are there to answer your questions about what time the lot is open, how the service functions, where to get on, where you will get off. And then you wait for the bus in a line there. And so the waiting is actually, it doesn't interfere with the residents because it is outside, it's on the school site. It's really outside of the public's purview. You're outside of the public right away. So it does not interfere with just the daily happenings. The other pickups are at bus stops, so that just is consistent with any other bus service. And then when it comes to East Shore Express, Sand Harbor pickup and drop off, that again is also very organized. So any queuing that happens at Sand Harbor really is unrelated to our service. It's just those who are there to enjoy Sand Harbor in their vehicles, and maybe should be directed to Sand Harbor, right? So it is managed, it's managed well. We've worked very hard to create lots of signage and public information campaigns. It has its own website to just put all that information out there. And of course, you can call our dispatchers and get information as well to understand how to utilize the service.
And Tara, how many employees are there on site to help with parking and getting people, you know, sort of mobilized from vehicle to bus at the school sites, not at the Sand Harbor end?
Generally, there's just the one parking attendant. If there is the lot, and then there's also the driver. So they work synergistically. And then if it's a really busy weekend, we would likely have like a road supervisor out there to help with any additional congestion. So there's always an effort to anticipate and additional needs for helping move things along as needed in those instances.
Are there times when there's an attendant at both lots?
At Sand Harbor as well?
No, there's two in the proposal here. One at
the overflow lot.
Yeah, the overflow lot doesn't always get utilized. If it is to be used, then there should be someone on site at the overflow lot as well.
And how many days during the season typically do you use the overflow lot?
Honestly, it's been a couple of years. I do not remember that off the top of my head.
Danielle's slide here shows that there were 15 days at capacity. So I would presume that those 15 days, the overflow lot would have been used.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. Danielle, do you know?
I don't. I have tried to look for that information and I could not find it either. But I think that is an accurate assumption to correlate the days it reaches capacity, that would be around the number of days that we would use that.
Okay. Andrew, we generally use the overflow lot. It is used less often than there are more days it is not utilized than it is used.
Sure. And you're saying that it should be staffed when it's in use. Does that mean it will be staffed?
It all comes down to hiring. So the
labor.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And I think between our first time that we heard this item or back in 2021 and today, there's the ownership has changed of the elementary school site. Is that of the former elementary school site? Is that correct?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Now owns that.
Okay. And for so that's the main lot is the old elementary school.
Yeah.
In terms of service for the Shore Express, correct?
Yes.
Are there toilets there for the public to use or drinking water or anything like that?
I believe, Tara, correct me if I'm wrong, porta potties out there?
Sorry, at the main site, we have a porta-john with sinks outside. There should be two. And then sinks and a dumpster that's serviced regularly. It's kept very clean. I used it myself frequently when I'm out there working. So it's very convenient.
Good. Thank you. My last question is, what happens when the second lot fills up?
I don't think we've ever had that.
No, I don't think that has happened. Speaking from a resident, this is Bridget Cornell speaking. As a resident of Incline Village who drives by that overflow lot on a somewhat regular basis, I have never seen that parking lot full while it's being used.
Do you have any kind of contingency plan for that?
If that was full, we would.
Have
capacity. We are in close coordination with Sand Harbor regularly. Our parking ambassadors at the Tahoe East Shore Trail keep a radio communication with them regularly. We are working right now together in case there are times that we cannot operate the East Shore Express. We're working out a plan for coordinated outreach between the two of us right now.
And if we were at capacity to that extent, we would shut down, I don't want to say shut down service, but shift service to download only from Sand Harbor. And then we would utilize our website we have a banner across the top. And we have alerts that we can push that would state we are at capacity. And then as soon as that had been alleviated, we could put out communications stating we are back up and running. But again, that has not occurred to date in the 8 of the past 10 years that it's been in service.
And one of the concerns I saw in many of the written materials we received from public comment had to do with the overflow parking in the neighborhood around the old elementary school, the site that the TTD now owns. And I'm curious to hear if you have any contingency or management plans that you can trigger, so to speak, to help with that condition should it arise.
That is why we have the staff at the overflow, at the lot, and our drivers are trained as well. There's time in between each run for drivers to talk with, to get off the bus. They can talk with the people at the stop. At the lot. And with the lot attendant, they would be able to direct anybody who's walking in to move their car to the overflow lot. And we do have overflow lot signs that are up when our lot is full. So they are directed to move along immediately as soon as the lot's full.
That sounds like an important person who's on the ground.
Yes.
And we also have, you know, radio communication directly with Sand Harbor and can them to not direct people to the lot when it is full, so they can support us as well.
Yes, I presume that the buses will continue to loop, so to speak, to bring people back as based on your schedule, but may not be able to bring as many in then.
Correct.
Okay.
Can I, this is Bridget Cornell again.
Yes, Bridget.
Sorry, just to provide another comment on that, because I agree with you. That is a concern that we have heard. And one of the conditions in the permit also requires the TTD to report complaints that have been received about the service. And those complaints shall be, I think it says, shall be reported to TRPA within 7 days, including resolution. So TRPA, you know, if there are numerous complaints received about this service, we will be addressing that during the season as well. If something is, you know, I think it says, if any complaints are brought to the attention of the applicant or to TRPA while service is in operation, these shall be documented and submitted in writing. Permittee shall explain in writing how these complaints were addressed and any changes that were made to the project. So, you know, the fact that they are reporting to us on a regular basis, hopefully we can make some tweaks during the service season as well. You know, we would like to learn from this as well so that we can figure out what works longer term.
Thank you, Bridget. I don't have any other questions for the staff or for the TTD, the applicant.
This is Bridget again. Sorry to keep popping up. I also wanted to just let you and whoever's listening know that we have received a number of comments about this project. All the comments that were received leading up to the November and December meetings have been compiled and were accessible with those meeting materials at the time. In addition, leading up to this meeting, we have received a number of written comments, which have been compiled into a document, which is accessible on the website, along with the meeting materials for today's meeting. In addition to those comments that are compiled into that document, I did receive one additional written comment via email today, just about a half hour before the meeting, but I do see that commenter is on the attendees today, so hopefully he'll be speaking in person, as well as I did receive one additional phone call. So in addition to the ones that are shown on the website, there was one more in writing and one phone call.
Thank you, Bridget. And can you characterize the comments you've received in general for this meeting? Not the ones from November and December. We've seen those.
They are consistent with the ones, and a lot of them are from the same, even from the same commenters who provided comments back in November and December. I believe I have approximately 35 comments. Most are in opposition. I did receive one in support. But they, you know, they're a lot of them were form comments, just saying no, or you know, I oppose this. But some of them did have some thoughtful comments on it, and like you summarized, and like the TTD mentioned earlier, there is a concern about parking overflow from the primary site, which is the one on Southwood. For anybody who's even been in that area in the last 2 years, while the system hasn't been operating, there is some rather chaotic parking that happens in that area. And that's just coming up with a nice way to refer to it. But Washoe County has done some work in the area, so kind of the shoulders and things are a little more defined now. But it is an area that's pretty impacted by some, again, I'll use the word chaotic parking to begin with. So it will be important for the TTD to monitor when that lot is full and to assure that customers are not parking in those adjacent areas. But given the location here, it is a service that is accessible to pedestrians walking up and getting on. There is no requirement that you drive to the site. Now, if you live across the street, you can walk over and get on. What we don't want to see happen is people park in the neighborhoods and access the site.
Agreed. Yes. Thank you, Bridget. Anything else?
That's it for now, until after public comment.
At this point, I'd like to open the public hearing. In addition to the comments that Bridget has summarized, we received during the times this has been on the agenda, if there's anyone with us today who would like to offer comment, Georgina, will you please look for a show of hands?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand raising feature in the Zoom app. The hand icon is located on the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 if you're on your phone. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand now and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. And we will start with Colleen Wallace Barnum. Colleen, you should be unmuted.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. For the record, Colleen Wallace Barnum, Park Operations Superintendent with Washoe County. Thank you for the opportunity to provide some public comment today. I am a member of the State Route 28 Corridor Management Team and work closely on the East Shore Trail, and speaking on behalf of Washoe County, feel that the operation of the East Shore Express is critical to helping with the congestion and the parking related issues that take place during peak times when folks want to get over to Sand Harbor. I have a family and we've done it many times ourselves personally, and it's a wonderful service to provide for folks once Sand Harbor is closed to vehicles. It's a great way for people to be able to get in and still enjoy the facility. Serving 40,000 residents is just a good example of how we can help manage some of the congestion issues that take place in Incline Village and the lake in general. So those are my public comments again on behalf of Washoe County.
Thank you, Colleen.
Okay, we will move on to Helen N. And Helen, I unmuted you, but you need to unmute on your device.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thank you, Hearing Officer Strain, Planner Cornell, and the TTD team. For the record, my name is Helen Neff, and I am a long-term resident of Incline Village. I stand with you in your goal to reduce vehicle traffic. I support sustainable tourism and TRPA's Complete Streets program, which takes into account pedestrian and cyclist safety. I question why parking at Sand Harbor is not managed through an online reservation system. I have questions and comments regarding the temporary permit to operate a transit hub within Incline Village. What was the calculation used to arrive at the reduction in 557 daily VMT miles? How many vehicles do you estimate using the transit hub each day in 2022? How many bus trips? How does this compare to the pre-COVID usage in 2019 and earlier when the transit hub was in operation, in view of the increase in visitors to our basin? The staff report refers to peak hour in numerous places. What is a peak hour in Incline Village? Our streets are busy all summer. I'm interested to know how peak hour is defined. And the staff report says the project to which the use pertains will not change the character of the neighborhood. Did anyone ask the residents who live on Southwood and Oriole weigh their opinion of this? The roads in Incline Village are not adequate to safely support more traffic at either proposed location. Last year, I was a pedestrian at the nearest intersection to this proposed temporary transit hub legally crossing 28 in a crosswalk with the walk signal in my favor when I was hit by an SUV and severely injured. It's a miracle that I was not killed. I might look okay, but I am not. I am scheduled for a fourth surgery. In January, another pedestrian was hit and run over, yes, run over by an SUV when legally crossing 28 in the crosswalk in front of Raley's. She has not recovered. Again, it's a miracle she's alive, and she's unable to return to work. Since the purpose of the project is to reduce vehicle traffic, why are you bringing more cars to an area that is already dangerous for pedestrians? The societal costs of which we all pay of these crashes are high. First responders, law enforcement, judicial, medical, insurance premiums. If you do not listen to the objections from residents of Incline Village and must proceed with a temporary permit, and I emphasize temporary, please require NDOT to add pedestrian crossing intervals at all of the Incline Village traffic signals so all vehicle traffic is stopped when a pedestrian activates the button for walk signal. Please utilize signing and other educational material to remind drivers parking at the transit hub and bus drivers to watch and be aware of pedestrians and cyclists. And please, please require NDOT to paint the crosswalks on 28. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen.
And next we have Denise Davis. Denise, you're unmuted and you'll need to unmute on your device.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Staff analysis item G states, quote, the area surrounding the site at 771 Southwood Boulevard currently experiences parking issues related to the surrounding land uses, end quote. It's also noted there will be a parking attendant, but it does not state the parking attendant will be present during all hours the lot is open. There are parking attendants at the East Shore Trail parking lots, but they're not present all hours the lots are open, and the neighborhood experiences parking problems due to this parking use. Please require attendants be on site all hours the parking lot is open. Finally, although this is not the topic of today's item, the solution to congestion is addressing vehicles before they enter the basin. There is little effort directed to this aspect. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Just looking to see if we have any other hands raised. We do. And next we have Doug Flaherty. Doug, you're unmuted and you'll need to unmute on your device.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer. There has been a change, a critically important change since the last hearing. And it's critically important because as of the date of property transfer, which was approximately January 11th of 22, all environmental review considerations of 771 Southwood Boulevard now fall under the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA. Since the property was purchased using federal funds connected with a Federal Transit Authority grant request by the Nevada DOT and the TTD, the TRPA Code of Procedures states 6.2, Joint Environmental Documents. For projects subject to the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, or other state or local environmental review, TRP shall, whenever feasible, coordinate its environmental review with the local, state, or federal process. Coordination would include joint activities such as scoping, selection of consultants, notice, and concurrent comment periods. There is no record visible on the TRPA website or the TTD hearing officer materials to indicate that the TRPA is following its own code of procedures per 6.2. And therefore, any granting of a temporary use permit in connection with 771 Southwood Boulevard would not be valid. And please also read the rest of my comments, which are fairly extensive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flaherty.
And next up, we have a phone-in caller with the last four digits of the number ending in 8834.
Yes, if you'd please identify yourself for the record.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thanks. My name is Carol Black. I'm a resident of Incline Village, and I'm speaking today as a resident of Incline Village. Parenthetically, I'm also a member of the Incline Village Mobility Hub Committee that is being sponsored by TTD, just as an aside, but that's not why I'm here today. I'm here as a resident who lives nearby. I would echo some of the comments I've heard, and but I also wanted to just ask sort of a couple of questions. First, I want to thank Bridget for speaking with me on the phone earlier in the week and answering some methodological questions for me, which was very helpful. The comments I wanted to make today are as follows. One is, you're obviously avoiding the school hours at the current elementary school. I wondered if there's summer school going on there or not. I don't know the answer to that, but if so, I just think it should be avoided and checked out, perhaps. Secondly, I would echo the comments someone made about management of the destination sites, demand management, and also about intercepts before arriving in Incline Village, which I think are important things to be looked at, and I hope will be in the fullness of time. The other thing that I wanted to speak about, I've spent some time studying the picture that is in the report of the actual site, and I'm trying to figure out, I think most of the, not all, but because you just heard several concerns about crossing Tahoe Boulevard. But in addition, I think a number of the concerns relate to, as has been said, relate to the traffic light and delays there, and also the Southwood area. If I'm understanding the picture that was attached to the report, the entry into the parking lot, entry and exit into the parking lot, is actually off of Tahoe Boulevard. It is and the pickup for riders is also on Tahoe Boulevard. I think with a sidewalk connecting the parking lot. What's going on Southwood, as best I could see, unless I misunderstood this, is a turnaround for the buses. So the buses go down Southwood, turn around, come back up, and then go their merry way. And I'm really wondering if there isn't some way to get that bus traffic off of Southwood, since I know that is an area of, has been an area of concern. I'm not someone who can design that, but I did wonder about that, just wanted to raise that. I also would emphasize that as much data as can possibly be collected and it will be critical, and to say that the microtransit that's been in practice in Incline Village over last summer should have, and takes people from Incline to Sand Harbor, should have potentially cut down on the demand for this service, and except for people coming from elsewhere, and that would be something to consider.
And that's 3 minutes.
And also, how many buses? Thank you very much. Sorry I ran over my time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Black.
Thank you, Kyle.
Anyone else to offer public comment?
Just looking for any other hands raised, and it looks like we have no further public comment.
Thank you, Georgina. At this point, I will close the public hearing. I have three questions I've written down, or three sets of comments for staff. And number one was near the top of our public comment. Bridget, if you could please give us a brief summary of the metrics that were used in the traffic study that occurred after we continued the item. There was a question about trips and VMT, how those were arrived at. Can you please give us a summary of how that traffic study was conducted and what it considered?
Yes, I will. I can touch on it. And then if somebody else from TTD wants to provide any additional detail, Michelle Glickert is also from, who is TRPA transportation planning staff, is I believe now on as an attendee, but not as a panelist. So for those of you not familiar with the calculation of vehicle miles traveled, it is typically calculated as a part of a very large traffic model, where for the Tahoe region, the whole region is broken down into zones, and you look at different attractions and productions within each zone. So the VMT number, the VMT analysis was conducted kind of utilizing and this is a professionally accepted practice in transportation planning and transportation engineering, that there is, you know, there are certain presumptions that are made regarding where the trips are coming from. You know, for those trips that are coming from out of the region, there's a longer trip length within the region. So there's kind of behind the scenes calculations that go into the calculation of vehicle miles traveled. I took a whole class on it in college. So if anybody really wants more details, not really. But so it is, it's not just as simple as saying, okay, you take this and multiply it by this. That is a way of getting a very basic number. If you do take the number of trips multiplying by the trip length. In this case, it's a bigger picture, and that we are looking at regional vehicle miles traveled. And although this site itself is generating a number of vehicle trips, it is shortening what that trip length would have been otherwise. So that is how it is resulting in a reduction of vehicle miles traveled. Does that address your question regarding that? Or I'm happy to clarify
yes.
any
thank
questions
you.
That you have.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Bridget. It, okay. It's not just a simple back of envelope X times Y. Agreed.
It is not, unfortunately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then
all right. My other question for Bridget, and then I will ask one of Marcia regarding process in the NEPA process. Question for Bridget, technical pieces of the proposal. It's one that I had wondered myself is, will the overflow lot, and this may be better suited for the TTD staff, will the overflow lot, is there a summer school at the Incline Elementary School, the new one on Northwood, and will there be a conflict in use between the overflow lot and summer school? I don't know the answer to that. Does Bridget, do you or the TTD staff know the answer?
And maybe Danielle can address this as well. To the best of my knowledge, and I have reached out, but I haven't gotten a direct response yet. As I understand it, summer school may not be happening there this summer. The one thing that I have been looking into further is whether or not apparently the Boys and Girls Club may be using that campus for some of their programs. And I am awaiting just some input on that. I think Danielle from TTD can address that as well, because that is really an issue between the agreement or an issue that's a part of the agreement between the Washoe County School District and the Tahoe Transportation District.
Yes, agreed.
Thank you, Bridget. Yes, I'm not sure if there's actually summer school. I too have not been able to find that out. There are other uses of that property, including various sports that occur there and such. There are other uses outside of TTD.
And Danielle, based on your knowledge, do you have a reason to suspect there would be an inconsistency or an incompatibility in uses with the overflow function and the uses or activities that you're aware of at the Northwood site?
No, those have happened in the past. It is common to help hold sports events there and was happening during our previous operation. So I would not expect any conflicts there.
Thank you, Danielle. Second part of the question back to Bridget. I believe this is Ms. Black's question in her remarks. regarding, and it may have to do with the site plan that's in our packet for the original or old elementary school, the pickup point facility.
Yes, and it
the
is
the location of it.
Yeah, we did just use an aerial photo to kind of depict how the flow would operate on that site. And the parking and the pickup locations are off of Southwood. They are on the incline, the former Incline Elementary School campus that hasn't been used for a long time. The service utilizes what used to be used by school buses while the site was being operated as the Incline Elementary School. So all people will be picked up in that turnaround area that, again, it's really formatted already, even for buses. Georgina, I don't know if you want to bring up that site plan from the staff summary. Let's see. It's probably, or did we include the...
Let me see if I can find that. Was my understanding that it was intended to use the old bus drop from the school that's accessed as a as a pull through or U-shaped driveway on Southwood. Yep.
This is the Northwood one. The next one, there is a separate one for Southwood. Yeah, that's it. Oh, sorry, it's a little sideways. But yeah, so this is, and I apologize, I was trying to work with plans we already have, but so the buses will come down, and this street along the right side of this site plan is Southwood Boulevard. So Lake Tahoe Boulevard, Highway 28 is along the top there. So the buses will come down, they will, you know, turn into this turnaround area. And then where you see the red rectangular and the blue star, that's where passengers will be picked up, and then buses will come back out of it. So buses do utilize that section of Southwood, but they come off the highway, come to the turnaround, and then go right back up to the signal. And that is a signalized intersection.
Thank you, Bridget. Now, if you would, Georgina, go back to the first plan we had up, actually the air photo. And I know you're able to orient this so we can read the labeling on it. Thank you. And I am curious to Danielle or Bridget, describe how this pickup will occur up what looks like a walkway. I see a pathway.
So the parking area you see here is the main parking area for the current Incline Elementary School. So that is where people will park, anybody utilizing the service. The area that's identified in yellow here is, and you know, I think there is another photo with a more of a vertical view of it, but this is Village Boulevard on the left-hand side there. And the bus will just pick up the customers right from Village Boulevard.
And so Bridget, is there a pullout there now?
I don't believe there is an official pullout, not that's the size of pulling, for like the size for an entire bus to pull out. But there is a bench there, and there's a facility there that gets utilized. Danielle, I don't know if you know any better, but I do not believe it is an official bus pullout. But again, that's Village Boulevard. It is, you know,
that's right.
It's not on the
overflow.
Yeah.
And Danielle, is there a shoulder there? Is there something paved? How does that work? I can't quite see under the yellow shape.
You know, I don't believe it's an official pullout. I think she's correct. Tara, I don't know if you have any additional information, but I don't believe it is an actual pullout.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that even on Highway 28 in Incline that the buses don't utilize full bus turnouts.
So we may have, in that case, the bus would be stopping in the travel lane?
Pulling up to the
side. That's not uncommon.
No, and it's not on the highway, as you've noted, although Village can get busy during the peak times. All right, thank you. My last question, clarification, I think is probably for our council, Marcia. Mr. Flaherty mentioned the joint environmental documentation and coordination process between TRPA and NEPA. Marcia, can you shed any light on how that might be applied in this instance?
Yes, I can, Andrew. The initial environmental checklist for this project didn't reveal a need for any additional environmental review. And TRPA is the only agency that is approving this permit. You know, other agencies may have approved transportation plans or other things that are being implemented, and this particular stop is part of that. But this project approval just involves TRPA for this permit. So when we have a situation where we have other federal, state, local agencies that also have an approval that will be required for the project, then we do coordinate environmental review. It usually includes a more extensive document, an EIR, an EIS. And that's something we do on a regular basis. But in this case, Section 6.2 just wasn't triggered because we don't have a joint agency approval process going on.
Very good. Thank you, Marcia. There may have been some previous NEPA action taken between NEPA and the TTD and the Federal Highways for some other part of their work, but not in this situation.
Correct. I hesitate to speak to that because I do not know what those other approval processes were. But for this permit, TRPA is the approving agency.
I agree with you. Thank you, Marcia. Given that, I will now take action on the project. Based on the information that's contained in our staff report, including the findings of fact and the rationale on which they're based, and that includes Chapter 4, Chapter 21, the special use findings, Chapter 50, the additional public facility findings, and the finding of no significant environmental effect, I will approve the findings as they have been proposed. And secondly, I will approve the temporary use permit subject to the draft conditions that are contained in it to permit the activity as a temporary activity for a 6-month period with the option under certain conditions to extend that for one more 6-month period. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for your thoughtful input.
I'm sorry, can I just say, so again, we talked at the start of the hearing about the revision to the condition in the permit. I don't know if you need to make, when you approve the project, do you need to get that specific about that condition?
Let me do that. Thank you, Bridget. Yes, for the draft conditions in the permit draft conditions, we did add a timing element, and that is condition number five. Special condition five that has a timing element for when the transit operations report on the service is due to the TRPA within 30 days of the final day of service. Thank you, Bridget. Yes, we do want to include that.
Thank you.
And that is part of the conditions of the draft permit. At this point, I will hand over the duties of hearings officer to Paul Nielsen for item 5C. Paul?
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. For the record, my name is Paul Nielsen. I am the TRPA Special Projects Manager, and I will be serving as hearings officer for this final item of the day. This item is 5C, Verizon Tom Seasons new telecommunications facility located at 3901 South Road, City of South Lake Tahoe, El Dorado County. Assessor's parcel number is 028-231-001, and the TRP file number is ERSP 2021-0808. And this is an item that was continued from the May 12th, 2022 meeting. And so with that, I think I'll start by asking staff if there are any changes to the staff summary or the proposed permit.
Sorry about that. I was on a different screen and I was muted and couldn't unmute it. This is Bridget Cornell and I'm the planner for this project, TRP file number 2021 or ESP 2021-0808. There are no changes to the staff summary or the draft permit contained within the staff summary.
Okay, thank you. Could you start by giving us a brief overview and then I understand the applicant would like to have a few minutes?
Yes. Let me make sure I'm still unmuted here. So again, this is Bridget Cornell. I'm an associate planner in the current planning department. So the proposed project, sorry, I keep opening and closing all these different windows. So the proposed project, so it is Verizon Wireless is proposing to install antennas on the top, on the rooftop of the existing Tahoe Seasons Resort. So they will be adding a number of antennas on two different sides of the, So there are six antennas. Two will be on the north edge of the roof, and four will be on the west edge of the roof. So the six antennas are proposed rooftop. There will be what we refer to as faux chimneys, screening those antennas from view. And those faux chimneys will match the existing faux chimneys that already exist on the rooftop at Tahoe Seasons Resort. They will be similar in height to what is already there. And these will conceal the equipment that related to these antennas. The associated equipment in this case will be housed in the bottom portion of the building like an equipment room in the lower parking garage. So there will not be a separate detached facility that houses all the associated equipment. So that is just the specifics of the project. There are several members representing the applicant. We have been working with Epic Wireless Group. I have been working most closely with Melissa Vios, and she is on the Zoom and will do a quick presentation next. There are a number of other representatives from Verizon and from Epic Wireless to answer any questions, but I'll let Melissa take over with the specifics of the project, and then I'm available to answer any questions at the end of the hearing. Thank you. Melissa, if you're ready.
Thank you, Bridget. I'm going to go ahead and let Paul Albert and go ahead and begin our presentation.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Oh, good afternoon. Great. Hearing Officer Nielsen and Bridget, thank you so much for hearing our presentation tonight. We have a very quick, crisp presentation about the proposed facility at the Tahoe Seasons. And as you just heard, Melissa Vios will be presenting after. We first hear from Mina Aziz. He is the RF design engineer for Verizon Wireless for this area and will explain the need for the facility. Melissa will explain the long efforts of Epic Wireless to locate the best location for this facility and to design it to make it merely invisible at the Tahoe Seasons Resort. We also have Bill Hammett of Hammett & Edison Consulting Engineers on the line who can answer questions about the compliance with FCC guidelines of the facility, as well as compliance with the noise ordinance. The noise requirements. I will be coming back on at the end of the presentation to talk about a few of the issues that have come up from opponents, and we'll turn it over right now to Mina Aziz, the RF engineer for Verizon Wireless.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm Mina Aziz. I am the Verizon RF design engineer for the Tahoe Basin. I have 7 years experience in telecommunication network design. If you can go to next slide, please. From a network point of view, the Tahoe Basin is very large challenge due to the terrain, the mountains, dense pine trees, and the very large number of people that visit the area on any given day. I will be showing you engineering data to support our highly needed Tahoe Season site. We identified a significant gap to the city of South Lake Tahoe in January 2017, and that significant gap still exists today. Eliminating a significant gap is critical to our network performance. It represents an area in the network that has no coverage or has inadequate coverage or is highly congested on capacity. We have a finite number of resources available at each site, and the network needs to be robust enough to handle up to 300,000 people that may visit the South Shore area on any given weekend. We use tools to analyze our network and to provide propagation models for our coverage. We are constantly monitoring the network to ensure network quality and that the network is available for any call at any time. Next slide, please. So this chart shows live data from our switch for the South Lake Tahoe area. This area covers from state line to Myers. This is daily megabyte volume over 26 months. You can see how demand peaks and varies from day to day, but shows a consistent increase in usage. As the chart shows, we have consistent high peaks during the 4th of July, Labor Day, and New Year's Eve holidays. It's our job to make sure that the network works at all times, during the average usage periods, and during the high demand periods. Over the 2 years, we have seen a growth of 137%, which is more than double. Demand triples every 36 months, which is considerably higher than the national average. Next slide, please. This second chart is the same live data, same area with a different view. It shows the monthly demand month over month, year over year. As noted, you can see the high 2 year growth for May, June, and July. Next slide. This map shows where our proposed Tahoe season site is planned. The map on the left is existing coverage. The map on the right shows existing coverage with the Tahoe season site added. Legend at the bottom shows blue dots for Tahoe season and ski run sites. The Tahoe season site will greatly improve coverage for the 183-room resort and the residential areas around it. The green areas on the maps represent indoor or in-home coverage. This shows where expected coverage is available inside your home, if you are working from home, or children are doing schoolwork. The yellow represents vehicle coverage. This shows where expected coverage is available in your car. The gray represents outdoor coverage. This shows where expected coverage is available only when you walk on the sidewalk. Looking at the two maps, you can clearly see where the significant gap is. The gray and yellow areas to the east and west of the Tahoe season site, and how the new site resolves the gap. Next slide, please. The second map shows the same area as our Tahoe season site, not active. And another planned site, Ski Run Boulevard, is active. You can see that the Ski Run Boulevard site does not resolve the Tahoe season significant gap. Next slide, please. The third map shows the same area with both Tahoe season active and Ski Run Boulevard active. You can see how these two sites complement each other and resolve different significant gaps in the network. I would like to close with, we invest a lot of time in analyzing a vast amount of objective engineering data to make sure we have the right structure at the right location to provide the needed network performance and limit the number of structure in any given area. Next, I will introduce Melissa from Epic Wireless.
And next slide, please. Good afternoon, Hearing Officer Nielsen. My name is Melissa Vios. I'm with Epic Wireless, and I'm a site acquisition consultant representing the applicant Verizon Wireless. Next slide, please. The following slide depicts the project timeline. A considerable amount of time and effort has been taken on this project dating back to January 2017. We worked on the design, worked through various leasing issues with the landlord, and through our efforts, obtained zoning approval with the City of South Lake Tahoe in November of 2020, followed by our submittal of a TRPA application in May of 2021. Next slide. We worked diligently with the landlord and our design team to architecturally integrate the stealth screening for the proposed antennas. The design included faux chimneys on the rooftop that will enclose the equipment. This resulted in a design that does not increase the overall height of the building, has virtually no visual impact, and will comply with all radio frequency and noise requirements. This is the most preferred and feasible option per the City of South Lake Tahoe zoning ordinance. Next slide, please. This site plan depicts how all of the equipment will be concealed within the faux chimneys. The faux chimneys have been designed to match the architecture and height of the existing chimneys on the building. Next slide, please. The following four slides are photo simulations of how the design of the project blends well with the existing building, keeping with the current aesthetics of the building. This first slide is from the northeast of Saddle Road. Next slide, please. This next slide is from southeast of Keller Road. And you can see that the faux chimneys on the right blend well with the existing chimney on the left. Next slide, please. This is another view from Bonita Road. And the next one, please. This is a view from the northwest of Saddle Road. Next slide. A total of 11 different alternative sites were analyzed as possible candidates for this project. The slide shows locations of the alternatives along with their respective TRPA land capability districts. Next slide, please. The following chart clearly indicates why the alternative candidates were eliminated. The first column demonstrates which candidates were eliminated based on their inability to serve a significant gap in Verizon wireless service in the area. The second column demonstrates those candidates that would have required a new tower, posing more scenic impact compared to the proposed facility, which is fully concealed on the rooftop. And the third column indicates that the candidate is in a TRPA land capability district of 1A or 2, where new development is prohibited if there is an alternative that avoids any new disturbance, which is the case with our proposed rooftop facility. If a candidate fell within one or more of these categories, it was indicated with a red X. Our proposed facility will serve a significant gap, poses no scenic impact, and does not require any new development on pristine land. Next slide, please. Hammond and Edison completed both a radio frequency study and noise study that confirmed that this project is in compliance with FCC exposure guidelines and local noise limits. Bill Hammond of Hammond and Edison is available to provide additional details on the reports if there are any questions. Thank you very much, and I'd like to hand it back over to Paul.
Thank you, Melissa. That pretty much wraps up our presentation. We would like to reserve some time after public comment to respond to public comments. We have received concerns voiced about projects being approved by TRPA for wireless facilities. The principal objection at the city level for this particular project was that alternatives had not been adequately analyzed, and we analyzed all the alternatives that were raised. And as you saw from Melissa's slide, the majority of the 11 alternatives that we looked at were in TRPA land use capability districts of 1 or 2, where we have a facility that doesn't disturb or create new development. It's clearly preferred under the TRPA requirements over any raw land use of a category 1 or 2 land capability. The other principal objection has been that TRPA, having been formed from a federal compact, should somehow establish its own FCC exposure guidelines or exposure guidelines for our radio frequency emissions. And the staff, I think, has very carefully and thoroughly addressed that issue, that federal laws should be read in harmony. And here, where Congress has designated the FCC as the authority for determining exposure levels throughout the United States, that TRPA respects those exposure and the expertise of the FCC in concluding that the facility complies with respect to RF exposure. I would like to say we do have Bill Hammond of Hammond and Edison Consulting Engineers, who is an expert in that field and can answer your questions. He can also answer any questions about the noise study. As you know, we've got Mina Aziz to answer any questions about the need for the facility, Melissa, who you heard about the design, as well as Bill Hammett. And then we also have Charlie Schwartz on the line, who's also lives in the Tahoe area and is one of the senior RF engineers for Verizon Wireless and can answer questions about the overall wireless facilities for Verizon Wireless in Tahoe. With that, we'll turn it back over. We would appreciate time to come back after public comment and answer any issues that have been raised with respect to the application. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Nina. Thank you for the presentation. I certainly appreciate the discussion on alternatives. That is an ever important and increasing need for these types of applications. So we thank you for that. As well as the simulations were prepared. I thought they were very helpful to help understand the visual aspects of the project. Before we get to and open the public hearing, I just had a couple questions for staff. Bridget, I have reviewed the public comments that were submitted. My take is we have received comments stating concerns related to human health, biological resources impacts to them. And also just sort of general frustrations with the process. And so, you know, in your own words, could you just briefly summarize the comments that we've received?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. As you mentioned, we did receive, all the public comments are also accessible from the TRPA website, along with the meeting materials for today's meeting. We received, again, this has been agendized twice before, once on for April 7th. I compiled all the comments that were received prior to the April 7th hearings officer meeting. The item at the April 7th meeting was continued again, and it skipped a meeting, so it's coming. That's why it was rescheduled for today, it was rescheduled again for May 12th, and then continued again until today. So there are two links on the website of all the public comments that have been received leading up to the two prior meetings. We did not receive any additional prior comment between the May 12th. Hearings officer meeting and today's hearings officer meeting. The general theme that, if I could sum it up, regarding the comments that were received and all that I reviewed within those comments, none of the comments were specific to this project. There was no aspect of this project was being questioned regarding whether it was consistent with TRPA regulations. They were much broader comments regarding just the safety of cellular facilities in general. But because they were submitted under the heading of the item number on the hearings officer agenda, we did compile them all as a part of the comments for this project. And related to the RF exposure, and I apologize if I did forget to mention this earlier, the report that was submitted with the application shows that the RF exposure that will result from this project is well below the federal standard. I believe that it was approximately 30%, between 25 and 30%, based on how far away from the antennas you were. So that is the kind of general theme of the comments that we have received. But if you have any specific questions for me, I can answer those as well.
Thank you, Bridget. My second question was related to the RF issue. The report, you know, accurately states that these cellular facilities must comply with FCC regulations, but it was sort of missing that project-specific reference to the RF exposure for this site. I'm familiar with Bill Hammett's reports. I don't think we need to hear from him. You just stated. And as we typically see, the RF exposure for these sites are well below the FCC allowed exposure limits. Often, I don't think I've ever seen one over 30%. Often they're under 20%, sometimes in the single digits. So that was my second question, just to make sure that that report is in the record. And unless you have anything further, I'd like to get to the public hearing.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, so with that, I would like to open the public hearing. We'll go to Georgina, who will let us know if there is any members of the public wanting
members,
to comment.
Oops, sorry. Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature in the Zoom app. The hand icon is located on the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 if you're on your phone. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand now and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes. Just giving it a few seconds here to see if any hands go up. And it looks like we do not have any hands raised, so we can continue with reviewing the item.
Okay, thank you, Georgina. So with that, I will close the public hearing. I have no further questions except to just get confirmation from the applicant's representative that they have reviewed the permit and have no questions regarding the conditions that are proposed.
This is Paul Albritton again. We are in concurrence with the conditions of approval.
Great. Thank you, Paul. So with that, I will move to take action on the project. I'll take two actions. The first being, I will approve the findings contained in the staff summary and a finding of no significant environmental effect. And second, I will approve the project based on the staff summary and record evidence subject to the conditions contained in the attached draft TRP permit, which is attachment A to the staff summary. And with that, I would like to move to item 6 on the agenda, which is adjournment. And I will conclude and adjourn the hearings officer meeting today, May 26, 2022. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Thank you.